when you're ready, Mr. Friedman.
Yes. May it please the Court. The principal issue before the Federal Circuit is whether the petitioners had raised non-frivolous allegations supporting the involuntariness of their terminations, the demotions, reassignment outside of the commuting area, and their retirements. There is evidence in the record to support the non-frivolous allegation that there was a Postal Service reorganization. There's no question that the record has evidence to the effect that there were excess positions and that the Postal Service conducted a national reorganization where it identified those positions as excess and identified individuals who covered those positions to be removed from those positions and reassigned. Now, the Postal Service had a yeoman-type effort of announcing to individuals that it was their intention not to reduce anyone in grade or pay.
Is your contention this was a reduction in force?
There is evidence in the record to support, yes, the answer is yes. Clearly, there was a reduction in force. There is evidence
and what follows from, if you were successful in convincing us that it was a reduction in force, what follows from that? What benefit is that to you?
The benefit is that the appellants in this case were denied their procedural due process rights as veterans, and that they
that those rights are allegedly created by the VEOA, right? No.
No, the appellants in this case are alleging that their rights were under USERRA, 38 U.S.C.
Well, how does USERRA apply? If it was a RIF, what's the significance of that for USERRA?
The individuals were, there was critical information that was withheld from these individuals as to their veterans' preference rights. Had this
veterans' preference rights coming from where? From USERRA?
No, veterans' preference rights coming under Title V, Code of Federal Regulations, Part 351, which deals with how RIFs are implemented. Veterans have special preferences during these RIF type actions.
Is the information that you argue was withheld only from veterans, or was it withheld from everyone involved in the RIF?
The Postal Service has denied that there was a reduction in force.
Okay, well let me ask the question differently. What is it about the military status of your clients that implicates you, sir?
The fact that they were military members and that they had entitlements under law. Section 4311 states that a person who is a member of or who has been a member of the uniform service has rights in terms of retention of employment. Because
if there's a RIF, don't we have a problem here that the board has found there's not a RIF? These people were reassigned, given a displaced point where they could take employment, and most of them voluntarily accepted that. That's our issue, isn't it?
The issue is whether there has been a RIF.
Okay, the board said there was not, that it was a reassignment through displacement, and what, of course, if you're going to challenge their factual finding on that, you have a high burden to overcome. Is there anything arbitrary and capricious in their decision?
There was no administrative hearing. There was no discovery in this matter. What evidence is there that there was not a RIF? Every iota of evidence points to the fact that there was a RIF. There was a reorganization. There
were they all
individuals
offered employment elsewhere, in fact, transferred elsewhere?
The issue is not whether the Postal Service attempted not to conduct a RIF. The issue is the Postal Service violated the rights of individuals because they did conduct a RIF.
Does the Postal Service have a right to transfer people to different posts as necessary to conduct their business?
Absolutely. And if individuals are reassigned at the same grade and pay level, and if those individuals refuse, then those people are separated. And when they're separated, they are given procedural due process rights in order to challenge their standing. In this case...
Jones, he volunteered to be reassigned to New York. Wimberly requested and received appointment to a mail handler position. Ulrich and Rubinsky and Evangelista, they took early retirement rather than the reassignment. But, and of course we have a lot of case law that says if you voluntarily retire, even if there are difficult choices to make in those voluntary retirements, that's beyond our jurisdiction as well. So I'm trying to find, give me your best case for that there is a case here, that there's something we can review.
What evidence do you have that Wimberly voluntarily accepted a lower grade? There is no evidence in the record that Wimberly voluntarily requested a lower grade. There is no evidence in the record that...
He was terminated for refusing to accept reassignment and then chose voluntary retirement at that point. Is that correct?
Right. Ulrich was terminated. That was an adverse action. Any employee who has rights as veterans, if they are terminated, are entitled to procedural due process rights. When an individual is not given those procedural due process rights, the Federal Circuit has even gone so far as to say that there has been a constitutional deprivation of due process.
But those rights are dependent, as Chief Judge Rader said, on finding this was a RIF, correct?
No. That is partially correct. If Ulrich were terminated involuntarily, he was entitled to rights, whether there was a reduction in force or some other type of action, for instance.
But he chose voluntarily separation rather than reassignment, right?
He was terminated. The record in black and white stated that he was involuntarily terminated. What evidence is there that Ulrich resigned, requested to resign, that Ulrich requested a retirement? There's no evidence. He was involuntarily separated.
Let's assume hypothetically that that's true, okay? In terms of whether it was a RIF, what is the standard for determining whether it's a RIF? Is there a regulation that describes?
Yes.
What is the regulation?
The standard is if there's evidence of a reorganization which results...
What regulation is this?
5 Code of Federal Regulations, Part 351.
Okay, and what does it say?
And that states that if there is a plan management action which results in certain positions being abolished and individuals are affected by being changed to a lower grade or a lower pay level...
Which didn't happen here with respect to Ulrich.
The reality is Ulrich never voluntarily decided to leave his position.
No, forget about voluntariness, but I don't understand how there was a RIF with respect to him since he wasn't given a lower pay grade.
He wasn't demoted.
He was terminated. RIFs can occur.
He was terminated for not accepting a reassignment.
Pardon me?
He was terminated for not accepting his reassignment.
There is nothing in the record that indicates that Ulrich was separated for not accepting a reassignment. He was separated because his position was abolished. He was involuntarily...
If there was no RIF, where do the procedural protections come from that you're arguing about?
He was he suffered an adverse action under five Code of Federal Regulations, Part 752. An individual who is involuntarily separated for cause is entitled to due process rights. He was denied his due process rights. There is no decision that the Federal Circuit has issued in which an individual who has been involuntarily separated is not accorded procedural due
process.
But
the board found this was voluntary, didn't it?
What evidence is
there? No, you have to show us where they were wrong. You have to prove
they
were wrong.
There was no administrative hearing. There was no discovery. And Ulrich was involuntarily separated.
All of which only happens if there's a RIF.
That an individual can be involuntarily separated for refusal to accept a reassignment. That could be an involuntary separation.
Look at page 89 of the record. It's a notification of personal action to Ulrich. And under in the reasons for this, it says, employee failed to accompany activity and accept new assignment. He'd been given a transfer memo, and that's why he was terminated.
So then he would be separated for cause, whether it's an adverse action or a reduction in force. Now, but there was a... How could this not be a reduction in force? How could a plan management action, which results in the elimination of positions, which leads to a termination of an employee...
No, reassignment of positions, remember? There's a big difference. If they don't just reduce the force, they reassign people because they need more people in New York and fewer people in South Carolina or whatever.
No one's questioning that. The issue is, if an individual is reassigned and the individual refuses the reassignment, then the individual has to be separated. Under any procedural aspect of this case, there has to be notice and a right to challenge that. That's a fundamental procedural due process right.
Okay. Would you like to save your rebuttal time? Thank you, Mr. Friedman. Mr. Falger?
Yes.
You're not really splitting time here, are you?
It's up to the court. If the court would like to hear from the intervener, would...
All right. Well, what's that? Okay. You may proceed.
And may it please the court, the petitioners have not alleged that they made employment decisions that were under duress or coercion. And the board does not have jurisdiction over voluntary choices, employment choices. Here they were voluntary retirements. Four petitioners retired. There were voluntary transfers.
Now, Ulrich's the tough case here, isn't it?
That's the...
Because there's a right stamped at some point in one of those papers. You probably had it right in front of you. It said, involuntarily separated. And that falls into a different category than a mere reassignment, doesn't it?
Well, the terminology, involuntary, means one thing when discussing board jurisdiction and the board determines whether it has jurisdiction over a case. Means something different to the Office of Personnel Management when the Office of Personnel Management looks at a separation to determine whether it can award a discontinued service annuity.
Suppose he was terminated, involuntarily terminated. Suppose we accept that. Does he have a right to appeal?
He does not have a right under the RIF regulations. It's not a RIF separation.
Okay, but under FRI, under this court's decision in FRI, doesn't he have a right to challenge the reassignment, and doesn't the agency have an obligation to justify the reassignment?
He may have had a right if he had not retired, and if the agency decided to take an adverse action against him. So what happened was he was sent the paperwork from the agency, and he completed it, and he requested a discontinued service.
Did he raise the FRI point below?
No. No, and
explain the Big Stamp involuntarily separated?
Okay, to get back to that, to separation, we have four petitioners of the six who separated. Separation is a requirement for any retirement, federal retirement annuity. In the case of the other three, they retired under 5 U.S.C. 8336D2, under special authority from the Office of Personnel Management. Mr. Ulrich missed that deadline. He retired under 8336D1, which covers involuntary separations. So, according to the Postal Service, the purpose of that stamp was to help him qualify for a discontinued service annuity from OPM. But as I was explaining before, voluntariness for purposes of the board's jurisdiction is different. It's distinct from what that means when OPM is considering whether to award an annuity. From the perspective of OPM...
What case says that?
It's within their regulations and...
But the involuntary stamp was done to help Mr. Ulrich.
Exactly. And to get back to Judge Dyke's question, the best case, I think, for Mr. Ulrich, and it's factually indistinguishable, is the Court of Claims case in Rudd, which involved Mr. Rudd was facing a directed reassignment to a different geographic location. He declined it, and he retired. And Court of Claims said that is a voluntary choice. And so that's factually distinguishable. I mean, it's factually indistinguishable for Mr. Ulrich, this case. As far as the voluntariness question, again, from OPM's perspective, declining a geographic reassignment to another location is normally going to be considered involuntary from OPM's perspective. There are certain conditions. For example, it would not be involuntary if the employee also turned down a transfer offer in the same location. But typically, that is going to be involuntary from the perspective of whether to award the annuity. From the board's jurisdictional perspective, the board has no jurisdiction at all over directed reassignments to the same grade and pay, even though the reassignment could be in Timbuktu. It's well established that a choice between two alternatives, whether attractive or unattractive alternatives, is still a voluntary choice from the board's jurisdictional.
Isn't it possible that the Postal Service can say, you know, we need to reduce our force, but that subjects us to a certain amount of scrutiny. Why don't we just transfer people from New York to Los Angeles? They won't take it, they'll separate, and we'll get the same result. How, if that was what was going on, how would this court or the MSPB get its hands on that situation?
Well, the board does consider, in these cases, coercion. There's no allegation of coercion or duress in this case. But that's why the board will look at whether a reassignment is bona fide, whether it was done for proper purposes as opposed to trying to coerce someone.
Yeah, but under Frye, we put the burden on the agency to justify the reassignment, right?
Well, first there needs to be an allegation of coercion before we even get to that question.
So was there an allegation here?
Not in this case. There's no allegation of coercion in this case. In the absence of an allegation of coercion, the board has no jurisdiction to look into these reassignments. Once there's an allegation made and it's a non-frivolous allegation, then the agency can come forward with the bona fide reasons.
Did this case proceed before the board solely on the theory that there was a RIF here?
As I understand the allegations, there was the allegation that there was a RIF. And there was the allegation that the board has jurisdiction under USERRA. And those were the two bases of jurisdiction. And then the board, the administrative judge...
Did the allegation with respect to USERRA was dependent on there being a RIF?
I think that was an independent basis asserted by the petitioner.
What did you understand that claim to be? If assuming that there was not a RIF, what was the USERRA claim?
Well, the problem with the USERRA claim is USERRA... To make a claim of discrimination under USERRA, the claim needs to be that the employee's military service was considered in an improper way. It motivated a discriminatory action, and the discrimination is based on their military background. In this case, the petitioners are alleging that there was no consideration of their military service, and there should have been. So it's sort of, it's the opposite of the allegation one would make to assert a USERRA claim. And that's why the administrative judge said this sounds like it's a VIOA claim, because they are asserting that their veterans' preference should have been considered. It's really not a USERRA claim at all, because the allegation's not there. There needs to be an allegation of discrimination based on their military service. And that, as I understand their claim, it's really a VIOA claim. The petitioners waived the claim, and in any event, they admit that they did not exhaust the remedies at the Department of Labor. So there's no basis for that. In sum, the board has no jurisdiction to look into these voluntary actions. And in the absence of that jurisdiction, the board properly dismissed these appeals. And if there are no further questions, I'll...
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Mr. Preheim, do you have something to add?
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the Court. We certainly agree with the comments of the Board. The fundamental misunderstanding that the petitioners have here is that they failed to recognize that there simply was no reduction in force that took place. The Postal Service's efforts to avoid a RIF were successful here. Some of the petitioners voluntarily retired. There were open available...
Do you agree that Ulrich didn't voluntarily retire?
Mr. Ulrich did voluntarily retire. He applied for a discontinued retirement annuity.
But why did you label it an involuntary termination?
Well, as the board explained, that was for so that he could, in fact, qualify for a discontinued service retirement. Keep in mind what Mr. Ulrich's claim is, and that is that there was a RIF, a reduction in force, and therefore he should have been notified of his RIF rights. This court has made abundantly clear that if there is no RIF that took place, the agency is not required to apprise employees of any RIF rights. And here, Mr. Ulrich, in addition to not voluntarily retiring, his removal took place because he refused a transfer. It didn't take place because of any RIF. And we know that agencies are entitled to remove employees if they refuse a transfer. Under the Frey case, what this court has said is that we look at the bona fides of the agency's decision. Keep in mind that Mr. Ulrich and the other petitioners represented to the board that they were not challenging the bona fides of the agency's decision to transfer them. So we respectfully request that the court affirm the board's decision.
Thank you, Mr. Preheim. Thank you. Mr. Friedman, you have 2.5 minutes.
There is no administrative record in this case. There is no discovery. There was no hearing. And there was a reduction in force. If there were...
Let's assume we reject that position. We say, no, the board was right. This wasn't a reduction in force. Ulrich was terminated for refusing to accept reassignment. What is the claim that you have under those hypothetical circumstances?
Deprivation of procedural due process.
How so?
Under MSPB regulations, he is entitled to procedural due process before he is terminated.
Procedural
due...
I don't understand. My hypothetical assumes there was no RIF. What is your claim under those circumstances?
A termination is considered an adverse action. Adverse actions, any agency must abide by adverse action procedures, including procedural due process, where an employee has to be apprised, be given an opportunity to respond, and then within a period of time, 30 days later, is told of its decision. This is a fundamental due process issue. The Federal Circuit has decided myriad cases on this issue. But there was a reduction in force. There was a reduction in force because there were...
This is the Postal Service. Do all those rules apply the same way? They're not an agency. They're different rules for them, and I'm not absolutely certain as to all the rules, but... Sounds to me like you're giving me kind of the standard agency rules, not the Postal Service.
These rules apply to every single petitioner in this case because they were preference eligibles. There is no evidence that Wimberly voluntarily accepted a lower grade. There is no evidence that the petitioners, the other petitioners, voluntarily resigned or retired. There's no evidence. There's been no hearing. They have been denied their fundamental right to a hearing in order to develop the case. But even putting that aside, there's clear, irrefutable evidence that there was a reduction in force. There were positions that were eliminated, and Ulrich and Wimberly were two individuals who were reduced in grade or terminated. That falls within the parameters of a RIF. The law is the law.
Thank you, Mr. Friedman. We'll have your argument.